This is an explicit podcast meant for those over the age of 18. Any views expressed in this podcast are based solely on our own experiences. This podcast does not constitute as medical or other professional advice. Welcome to Front Porch Swingers, where we talk about sex on our terms.
We talk swinging, hot wifing, BDSM, and so much more in the hopes that we will inspire you to enjoy sex on your terms.
Enjoy the show, everybody. Hey everyone, welcome to Front Porch Swingers. I'm Brenna.
I'm Brian.
So our amazing partners, Cassidy.com, is where we're going to start our show today, as always, because they're amazing.
Yes, they're awesome. And if you have not already made yourselves familiar with Cassidy.com, you damn sure should.
Yes, you absolutely should. On top of it being one of the fastest growing online communities of swingers in the United States, it's also an amazing place to check out things like summer plans.
Yeah.
Planning all of your summer sexy travels around Cassidy events and finding communities like ours at Front Porch Swingers.
Absolutely. And get on our website immediately. Stop what you're doing. Get on our website. Click the link and get 30 free days of Cassidy action.
Yes, the Cassidy banner is on our website, which is frontporchswingers.com. And guess what, people? I got a hot wife anklet.
Yes, you do. And by whom? From whom?
Oh, from Partners ID.
Yes. Our awesome partners, and they are actually our partners, and they're super people. We really like them. They have amazing products. Our rings, our black rings came from them.
Yes.
They're awesome. The best I've ever seen. We haven't found ones anywhere near the quality of those.
No.
And your hot wife anklet just came today, and it's really fucking nice.
It is super nice. Yeah, I'm very impressed with it. The little pendant that's on it has the stamp, the international stamp for swingers on it, and quality is great. I was super impressed, and I'm really excited to wear it.
Yeah.
Like every chance I get.
You're already wearing it, and it's actually not a little emblem. It's big, much bigger than I even thought it was based on the picture online. It's fucking great. It's really
not
nice.
Giant. My
no.
Ankle's pretty small and dainty, and it looks pretty good on me. So
yeah.
If you want to get your own hot wife anklet or some black rings or any of the other amazing pieces of jewelry from Partners ID so that you can get recognized by other swingers when you're out and about, go to partnersid.com and check out their collection. And if you use our promo code, FPS pod, that is FPSPOD at checkout, you'll get 10% off of your order.
Yes, it's really a good idea that you identify yourselves as swingers. It makes things easier, especially for pervs like us, because if you have black rings, we're not embarrassed when we walk up and say, hey, do you want to fuck? So much easier.
We've literally never done that.
No, but if we wanted to, it would be super awkward if they weren't swingers.
That's true. They'd be like, no, I'm like a,
yeah, I don't do that. That's wrong. Yeah. So have the black rings. It makes things a lot easier for us swingers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else is happening? We got all kinds of pervy shit going on.
Holy fuck. Yes. So we have an interaction that we're going to talk about with Matt soon.
Yes. Your second play date with Matt, which was super fucking hot.
Yeah.
And,
well, for me.
Well, for you. I got to experience I got the story, obviously, the experience. I got to experience it through you, of course, which was always hot. But yeah, it was a really good time for you. Great connection. It was almost a third play date, but schedules just got fucked
up. I know. And I'm so disappointed because we had a play date set up and I had to work late.
Yeah.
And I was super fucking horny that night. And all I thought about was like, wow, I could be home right now getting banged by two dudes.
Yeah. So super disappointed that that didn't happen. But you are going to make plans to see him soon and you guys will reconnect. But hot episode. We'll talk about that. Clint is coming back in town soon. He's been gone now for a little bit. He's been on vacation.
Right.
So you'll get a chance to see him probably next week as well.
Yes. I am anxious for that, which is weird. And I guess maybe I haven't told you this, but like, I feel like I'm kind of needy for him.
Well, we talked about it a little bit. I mean, there's a connection there, obviously. And I think a lot of that need comes from our experiences afterwards, our reconnection after.
Yeah.
So obviously we've missed that component. You know?
Well, and it's much more intense with him just because we know each other so well and we have such a good sexual connection and it's really comfortable at this point. So I think that allows me to just 100% focus on the eroticism with both him and with you afterwards.
Right.
So that's what I'm really missing right now.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm really excited to have that again.
Yeah, and he'll be back in town soon. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we are going to a total pervy birthday party tomorrow.
Yes, we are.
We're going out of town to see some of our friends. And actually, it's Jack and Jill. we're going to see Jack and Jill, and it's Jill's birthday.
Yes.
And there's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of like 8 to 10 couples. It should be a really good time at their place. It's going to be a pervy good time is what it's going to be. I anticipate naked frivolity the entire day.
I certainly hope so. It has been advertised as a naked pool party. So yes, when you know when swingers advertise something as a naked pool party that you're in for a good fucking time.
Well, particularly when Jack and Jill in particular advertise a naked pool party because you know it's going to be.
I believe them.
I have the utmost confidence in them that it will be clothing not optional. Yeah, absolutely. Drop your clothes at the front door, please.
Yeah, I'm super excited to hang out with them again. They have new friends that they're going to introduce us to, obviously, yes. That are going to be there. So yeah, I'm just really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a really, really fun weekend.
Me too. And to top it off, we have a single lady encounter. We're going to meet her for the first time Sunday.
Not an encounter.
Yeah, we're going to have a coffee or a drink with her Sunday.
Yeah, we were supposed to meet her last weekend and things fell through.
Yeah.
Kind of more.
I think it was our fault.
Our fault.
Yeah, really. We weren't able to make that happen. Our schedules were just jacked.
But I mean, we've been talking about it. You're kind of nervous about this.
I'm not nervous about it. I am. I don't know. I'm hesitant. I guess I'm a little hesitant.
Are you hesitant because of the last interaction solely?
Yes, 100%.
Well, then I mean.
100%.
That's not really fair, though, right?
Well, nothing against her. It's no slight on her. She seems like a lovely person based on the communication that you've had with her and what you've been telling me. I have not corresponded with her at all directly, just indirectly through you. And she definitely seems to be more of what we're looking for in terms of her lifestyle experience, let's call it.
Right.
So that's good news. I guess I'm just concerned because the last experience wasn't great.
Okay.
You know, and it kind of... I don't know. It was a little unnerving. It made me feel weird. I didn't feel good about it. It wasn't an experience that I particularly am fond of.
We've talked about it before. I mean, the last time that we were with a single woman, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that this is a thing. And it was the weirdest fucking interaction in the world.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm excited to meet this woman.
Well, I'm excited. I'm just concerned that I don't want to go down the same road. So I don't want to come off when we meet her as overly like really critical, or I don't want to ask too many questions and seem too invasive, but I definitely am not going to make the same mistakes that we made with the first gal that we met. And I don't think we made, you know, overt mistakes. I just don't think we asked enough of the real pertinent questions.
Well, I think we had a little bit of swinger frenzy going on. It was like, oh my God, we have a unicorn. She's attractive. She claims to be bisexual. Like she wants to experience all of these different things.
Yeah.
We were like, fuck yes, let's do this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was not a good interaction. And then now looking back on it, it's like, okay, if we would have just like slowed down a little bit, if we would have pumped the brakes just a little bit, how much different could that have been?
Well, and in our defense, she did say a lot of the right things. She said what the things we needed to hear in many instances. There were, however, in retrospect, some red flags that we absolutely should have identified when we were speaking to her directly, when we were having brunch with her. We should have identified some of those red flags, and we didn't. Once again, it was swinger madness. We had swinger madness. We were super excited about the idea, and we're really interested in her. We liked her. And I think we were willing to overlook some of those things, and we shouldn't have. We should have been a little bit more diligent.
So here's a question for you.
Okay.
I'm not assuming that this is going to go any further with this single woman, because it could or it could not. Who knows? You know, right. It's based on a lot of different factors. But let's say hypothetically that we like this woman and she likes us, and down the road, because we've also decided we will not play with her on Sunday no matter what.
Well, we really, it's just not possible anyway. Our schedule's not going to permit that, and we didn't set it up that way and don't want to.
Well, yeah, either way, not going to happen. Right. But let's say down the road we decide we're going to play. She is submissive,
mm-hmm.
and she has a dom right now.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. We kind of determined it's more of a playmate.
She has a play partner who is of a dominant nature.
Correct.
And she is of a submissive nature.
She is.
And she prefers dominant men.
Correct.
So what's it going to be like if we go down that road for you to dominate someone who's not me? Because you really have not done that since you and I have been together.
Well, I think it's a good question. It's a fair question. I don't know what that's going to be like. Our play will obviously be tentative. you know, the good news is, and for those of you out there who don't play in the BDSM world and are, you know, listening to us for the first time or haven't listened very much, we preach this aspect. And when it comes to BDSM, as it pertains to play compared to swinging, there are, you know, the rules of engagement, let's call them, are very different for the most part. And there is little room for mistake when it comes to playing in the BDSM world. There has to be clear-cut, defined play rules between the dom and the sub. And those are things, obviously, we'll flush out when we first begin that conversation with her, should we get to that point. So I'm not concerned about that. My concern is actually for you. So I'll put the question to you. You have, obviously, me, and now Clint, as a play partner, regular play partner.
Right.
So you are now, you know, you're engaged with two dominant males by design.
Right.
What's it going to be like for you to see me or to know that I am dominating another woman? You haven't seen that yet.
No, we get asked this question so much, not necessarily even the dominating part of it, but more like, if you had a regular female playmate, what would that be like for me? How the fuck am I supposed to answer that question? I have no idea. Of course, in my mind, my pervy, you know, dirty mind, I'm like, ooh, that sounds fucking hot. Like, and I've had this fantasy for a while of you having another submissive woman that you play with, and almost that like cuck queen dynamic where probably my biggest fantasy ever is being like tied up and not able to move or pleasure myself or leave the room or anything, and just having to watch you dominating another woman.
Well, we talked about that. I mean, that was really what started us on this path to ethical non-monogamy. It was something that you were very eager to see from the very beginning, even before you had your first single guy experience.
Right.
We just haven't morphed into that.
That's right. I'm totally, I mean, we haven't talked about this in forever because now we've been swinging for a while and we've had a lot of different experiences. But that conversation, the night that I told you that fantasy, was what kicked off this entire thing.
Yeah, it sparked the entire journey of ethical non-monogamy for us. That conversation that we had about you wanting to see me in that situation, and you, of course, being in a very, very submissive, you know, precarious role. And that sparked the whole conversation. Then we got to my wanting to see you, obviously, with another man. And here we are, you know, way down the line. So yeah, we just haven't been able to pull the trigger on that yet. So I'm curious as to what that's going to be like from your perspective. And in all honesty, we have not embarked on this kind of journey with this gal to this point with the intention of my having her as a playmate, a regular playmate.
No, no.
We're going into this as a couple. She is interested in a couple. So from my perspective, I'm really interested to see what it's going to be like for you and I to have a regular playmate. Not just you, not just me, but us. Almost in that kind of, you know, polyamorous situation, but not exactly, but close to it. Just us having and sharing the same play partner. I'm really kind of eager to see what that's going to be like. How you and I kind of interact with a person together, with a gal together.
I mean, that's kind of the ideal situation.
It is the ideal situation.
It's really fucking hard to find.
It is ideal in the sense that you and I, of course, haven't experienced that too with any success yet. So I'm kind of curious to see how that plays itself out. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited for a lot of reasons. I am, of course, you know, I'm just cautiously optimistic because I did not care for how that first experience kind of went.
Yeah, we just have to steer it in a better direction.
For sure. And the good news is, like everyone out there listening who is in the world of ethical non-monogamy and swinging and hot wifing, you should learn from every experience.
Oh, fuck
we take away something from every experience. Whether it's good or bad, we learned something new. And we certainly learned from that experience.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure. Yeah. It's probably our biggest learning lesson so far.
There's no question.
In my mind, anyway. Yeah, it was like, what the fuck were we doing?
Yeah, there's no question that that goes down as certainly the most awkward experience we've had thus far.
By far.
And really the one and only experience, I got to say, that left me feeling, just made me feel bad. The experience made me feel like we had just did not do everything we could do to make that a positive experience for us and for her. Not entirely our fault. There was enough of, enough mistakes to go around, I think, certainly. But we should have known better.
Yeah.
And it did not make me feel good about it. So so I do have a little bit of a hesitancy toward this, but I'm looking forward to it. We're going to meet her, obviously, for a coffee or for a drink, as we said, in her hometown, her neck of the woods, should be more comfortable there, I think, for her, comfortable situation for her. And you guys have now been corresponding for a while.
Not in her neck of the woods. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, we're going to her town.
No, we're meeting her here.
We are?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be in her town, and then she's actually coming here?
Yeah, but she's in our town this weekend.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, she does come here often. That's kind of why we made this connection.
Yes, and not that I need to explain myself to anyone, but I found this woman.
Yes, you did.
I found her. I've been talking to her. So, you know, once again, don't feel too bad for Brian here, because if this goes well, it's all thanks to me. So.
Yeah, and what Brenda is referencing, for those of you not aware, we get a lot of emails and just a lot of correspondence from couples a lot of times, not just the single guys, but from couples wondering, wow, why does Brenda get to have all the fun? You know, let me clear this up for you. I have a great fucking time being part of a hot wife couple. I mean, I can't explain that enough. And for those of you not in it, it's really difficult to wrap your heads around, and I get that. But there is no lack of fun for me. So the idea that I don't have a regular female playmate, it's not because Brenna doesn't want me to or doesn't allow me to. It's not like there are super, you know,
I'm chaining you in the basement ethical, at night. You
know, ethical non-monogamous women falling off trees. Certainly not in our town. So, you know, you got to be, and again, you've got to be cautious. We have got to be cautious.
Plus, we hook up with couples a lot.
Yes.
You've had like double digit interactions with married women.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. But in all fairness now, you have had double digit experiences with married men and single guys.
Yeah, because you want me to.
Yeah, because it's so fucking hot.
Yeah.
And you're kind of pervy.
I'm a little bit of a slut. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a little slutty pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's awesome.
Slutty and proud.
Yes. So hashtag. If this single woman interaction works out, mm-hmm. I'm super fucking psyched for it. I hope it does. That's great. I didn't realize she was coming to our town. That makes things so much easier and so much nicer.
Yeah.
And we do live in a nicer place, which is great.
For sure we do.
We live in a much nicer town than where we're going.
No offense to any of our friends that are there.
Yeah, no offense to our friends. We just love where we live.
So. Yes. So this week we have a fun little surprise. I guess it's not really a surprise. We've been talking about it, but we're going to share our amazing interview with Tim and Katie. They are the hosts of Energy Underground, which is a lifestyle organization in our area. And they have some really fun and interesting insights into the lifestyle, into event hosting,
yes.
And also some really fun shit coming up that they are excited to tell you about. So
yeah, and we talk about it pretty much in detail. And what's really fun is, so to give everybody a little background, we have met Tim and Katie. We met them prior to their first event in a town close to ours for the first time. They host in rural communities. They are basically the authority on hosting swinger events in rural parts of the country. And they host in a very rural place where they live, and they came to our state and hosted in a town close to ours, which was amazing. And we must tell you, it was the one party that we thoroughly enjoyed, stayed the entire time, met amazing people.
And we're already registered for a second party through Tim and Katie.
Yes,
in September. And we're actually fucking excited to go. You didn't have to talk me into it. Just throwing that out there.
Not only did I not have to talk you into it, you told me we were going.
Right.
Pretty much. So that was pretty much how that went. Yeah, it's huge because as everyone knows who listens to the show, we have not had the best experiences at parties. And Energy Underground is absolutely, they are the rule, not the exception. The party was amazing and we are looking forward to the next one. And Tim and Katie are just great hosts. They're just great people. They're legitimate lifestyle people. They get
yes, it. Absolutely. We really like them and we think that you will too. And we hope that you love this interview.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Okay, so we are so excited to be here with Tim and Katie of Energy Underground today. And why don't you guys introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about yourselves as a couple.
I'm Tim. This is Katie. We've been married for 13 years, been in the lifestyle about that long. We started the year that we got married. We've been hosting parties for the last 2.5, almost 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we met you obviously through your parties, which are really interesting because you guys are really doing a lot in our very rural area in terms of building lifestyle events and building a following. So we'll get to that because I think it's a really interesting part of who you guys are. But first, would you tell us a little bit about how you guys got involved in the lifestyle?
We actually, it was kind of funny because when we were dating, we kind of talked about it because I told Tim when we were dating that I was bisexual. And that was definitely kind of intriguing to him. And I'm sure. And I told him that I still, you know, I still like being with women and everything like that. And so we talked about it a lot. And then we kind of dove into it after we got married. We decided to do it like a threesome with a single lady. And then from there, it just kind of evolved into what we're kind of doing now. So
the first experience was with a single woman, and then that actually wasn't as great as what we thought it would be. And we tried single guys, and then from single guys, we tried we moved into couples, which for us, couples was the real hard thing to make happen. I don't know why, but it seemed like we were always bombarded with single guys or single ladies, and it was couples that we were really interested in, but it was the hardest for us to get.
Well, that's when Craigslist was really big, and it seemed like we always found fakes and flakes on Craigslist. We didn't really find a true couple until we got onto Kik. Kik was really a huge eye-opener for us, really.
I think we found it's right, is it?
Yeah, it was on Kik when we...
I thought it was one of the dating sites.
No.
If you say it was Kik,
yeah,
it was Kik.
It was Kik.
So... So you say you were bombarded by females, single females as well as single males?
Yeah, we had a really good. I think it was because of Katie. You know, she would you know talk to these ladies because she was bisexual, and we always seemed to be able to find single women, and then trying to find that dynamic where we felt comfortable with them because the first experience kind of turned out bad, mm-hmm. So. We were really leery of single females after that. So finding it to where it worked out for us was kind of a hard, you know, we met a lot of single females, but we didn't always have good luck with it.
I would go out and have drinks with them and meet them with just me and her. But there was always just something missing. You know, it just like we just weren't clicking on the same page, or I'd find out that they were in a relationship and the boyfriend or the husband didn't know. And that's kind of one of our big things that we stay away from.
Yeah. Good call.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, same here.
Because I don't want to be caught up in anybody else's drama. No. So that was one of the biggest things is that they were, you know, and even like with single guys, they were, you know, single out on the road, but when they were home, they were married type thing. So.
We have experienced that many a time. It's unfortunate, but yeah, it's definitely a part of wading through the lifestyle. What's really interesting is this is why I love talking to other lifestyle couples because we're in like that exact boat right now. We had a horrible interaction with a single woman. And yet here we're finding, and then we stayed away from single women. We haven't been looking for them at all. Right. And now that's where I want us to be again. So we're trying to like wade through it, but it is really difficult to find single women that I connect with, not so much Brian, but me. And so it's an interesting transition. We're in a really interesting evolution right now in our swinger world. So maybe we'll have to get with you guys on what actually ended up working for you with that.
It's
really funny because it is really hard to be able to make that connection with somebody, you know, and when somebody gives you a bad vibe, it's like I start putting up walls when I start seeing flags, and it's really hard for me not to do that. I am horrible at it, but it's like I start seeing two or three flags and my walls just start going up and I'm just like, nope, I'm done.
There probably is a lot to do too with your experience in the lifestyle. You guys have been doing this for a long time, right? I think how long did you say how long?
Years, yeah.
Basically since the beginning of your relationship or close to it.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, and that's kind of a false number because as we moved around, I mean, we moved a few times, and, you know, as we moved into a new community, we didn't always pick up right away. So there are some gaps in there. I mean, you know, we've always felt like we were a part of the lifestyle, but I don't know that you could say that we were active for all of those years, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Well, like when we lived up in Alaska, you know, Tim was gone 3, 4, 5 months out of the year. Yeah. So, I mean, it was really hard to be able to find time even for ourselves, you know. Right. And so even though that we were still on Craigslist and still looking, it was really tough in that community because it was such a small town, and there was really, I mean, if you wanted to leave, you'd have to get on a boat or a plane just to go anywhere. So it was a little bit more restricted.
Or another state.
Yeah. You're kind of stuck with Canada.
Right. Hey, we know some great Canadians too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we need to make a trip to Canada.
It was just really difficult to be able to meet up with people.
Well, when you guys finally see each other, you want to spend time together. So I can imagine that would be a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a kind of a record there. I think that the whole time that we lived there, it was like 60 some nights I slept on our bed.
Yeah.
Holy hell. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And we lived there for quite a few years, so it was not fun.
Wow. Okay. So you said about 2.5 years ago is when you got into the parties and lifestyle party throwing. Why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was the catalyst for you to want to do that?
Well, yeah. The reason why we jumped into that little boat is because we wanted to be able to go somewhere and be around like-minded people. And you can't do that at a bar, and you can't do that at a restaurant. And so we wanted to be able to build a community and have people be around each other and be comfortable and talk openly without, I guess, vanillas listening in, I guess.
That really started with KIK also, though, because we were a part of a new KIK group. And everybody was constantly talking about let's have a meet and greet, let's have a meet and greet. And what it finally took was we were driving down the road and I told Katie, you know, nobody's going to do this unless we do it. So let's just take a few $100 and throw at it, and we'll do it once, and then somebody else will pick up and do it after we do it. You know, and what we kind of, my initial thoughts on it was, is we would do it kind of like a traveling card game. You know, we'll go to this couple's house this time and another couple's house the next time. That was how we kind of thought it was going to go.
Card game with no pants.
Strip right, poker like, without the
sounds
poker.
Sounds like my kind of game. I'm in.
Yeah. I'm with you, girl.
So, of course, you started this thinking you were going to kind of pass the torch, so to speak, and inevitably, I guess you guys just ended up continuing to throw the party.
We just kind of kept the torch.
So we've talked about this a little bit here recently, and we held that first party, and then the second one, one of our friends actually did hold it. We helped him with the planning of it, but he did it. And then the parties after that, we were going to do as a group, meaning the four of us were going to, there was actually three couples, and we were all going to just kind of share the responsibility of it. And I don't know if it's because of circumstances or if it's just because I'm a little bit more pushy. Me and Katie kind of ended up doing...
Well, we have a lot more freedom. We don't, sure. I mean, Tim's my boss and I'm his boss. Don't have, I mean, really, because I mean, we answer to our customers type thing.
Well, I mean, but to be real, you guys have busy lives. Like, I know that you're business owners and you have a lot of other things that fill up your time. Why pump so much of your time and energy into what has now become Energy Underground?
You know, that's pretty simple to say. You do what you love. I mean,
and we love it.
If I was a golfer, I would own the best golf clubs and, you know, a tricked out golf cart. And, you know, I mean, you do the things that you love. I mean, whatever your hobby is, you make time for it. And because we genuinely care about this. I mean, it's something, and it's not just sex. It's not just the wild adventures that we have. I mean, there are huge parts of it, but you know, the people that we meet and the connections that we make, I tell people all the time, you know, I'm, about 99% swinger Tim and 1% regular Tim. And that's by design. I mean, you know, we really don't even hang out with our normal friends anymore. It's not because we don't like them or anything. It's just because they don't get us, you know.
We have to hide too much of who we are, and that's something that we just don't want to do anymore. I'm just tired of hiding on who I am. I know I still have to because of we're business owners, but when we do these parties and we plan them and we get together with everybody, I get to be myself, and I love that feeling of being able to be myself and nobody's judging me. Nobody's right. Telling me that I'm wrong or anything. And I truly do. I love this community. I love the lifestyle. I get excited, and it's definitely great because the fact that Tim shares just as much passion for it as I do, and probably more, to tell you the honest God truth. I can't imagine our lives without being in a lifestyle.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
It does. We
it
think
makes
the
a
same.
Lot of sense to us.
Yeah, we feel the same way. We rarely will entertain vanilla friends. It almost doesn't happen anymore.
And for the same reasons you guys mentioned, which I think is also one of the reasons that we were really drawn to you guys as a couple. I mean, we've had correspondence with you guys, obviously, before this interview. And the reason that we were so excited to have you on this interview and to talk to you on the show is because we can tell your passion for the lifestyle. You know, that's to us. We have a lot of respect for that because, as you mentioned, it's a lifestyle that is still very secretive and very underground. And to find people who are doing something to combat that in some, you know, respect is pretty admirable. So yeah. Not to, you know, just lay it on thick to you guys, but I did feel like it was important to say that.
Well, thank you.
Well, you know, and you find that, I mean, anybody, I mean, again, whatever hobby you have, you find people that are passionate about what they're doing. And those are the ones that you tend to seek advice from, or you tend to, you know, spend more time with because they're on the same level as you, or however, you know, wherever you're at in your hobby. For us, we find people, I mean, the people that we hang out with are the people that are serious about the lifestyle. And we have had a couple of vanilla friends that have found out about it and started into the lifestyle because of talking to us about mm-hmm. it. So it's not like we completely have given up on vanilla life, but it just, when you start telling people what you're passionate about and they're passionate back, it just, you get involved real fast. I mean, it's easy to make connections. It's easy to be involved and it's fun.
Yeah. Well, and with me, it's not so much about the sex, and that's the thing where people, they hear swinger and they think, oh, that's all you guys are doing. Right. To me, it's a lot deeper than that. It's the fact that everybody is open-minded. We talk about sex openly because we can entertain our swinger friends. And if sex doesn't happen, okay, that's fine. If it does, it's great. It's just the fact that I get to hang around with people that I can really truly be myself with. And that's what's important. And that's why I just absolutely love this lifestyle.
Hell yeah. Sex is like the sexy little slutty cherry on top of the slutty sundae. Okay, so as lifestyle party throwers, I have some questions for you that I think a lot of our listeners want to know based on what we talk about on the podcast. The first one is single guys at your event. So as you guys are very well aware, and as all of our listeners are very well aware, we love single guys. I guess I should say I love single guys. Brian loves the byproduct of me loving single guys.
Right.
But there is definitely a stigma in the lifestyle, and there's so many hoops that single guys have to jump through. Now, we totally understand why with some of them, because, you know, some of them are shitbags. But what are your guys' overall, you know, perspective on single guys in the lifestyle as lifestyle party throwers?
So we do, you filled this out so you know about it, but we do an intake survey of every member that we bring in. And we ask everybody on a sliding scale of whether they're, you know, not interested or highly interested in a variety of topics. Single guys and single females are a part of that survey. And then I translate that into an equation, and it basically spits out a number. So my number system is a 1 through 4, and 4 being highly interested, 1 being not interested. Single guys and single females are both at a 3.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So to me, as a party planner, that tells me that I need to include single males, because the majority of the people that are in our group are interested in single males. You know, so from that standpoint of it, we're interested in single guys. As far as how to include them into the parties and make everybody feel comfortable about that, that has been something that we've struggled with.
Have you struggled with it because you've had single guys attend your parties that were not serious about the lifestyle, or have you struggled with it from more of a couple's perspective and their ideas of whether or not the single guy should be included, or something else entirely?
I think that the biggest struggle is, it's just like any other thing that you have a membership of. So everybody thinks that because they're a member that they have a say in what goes on, which is true. You do have a say. But, you know, if you have 100 members, you only have a 1/100th say. But everybody expects it because they're in the group that they should have a majority say in everything that goes on. So you have one couple that wants a single guy, and you have one couple that is completely against single guys. So if you invite a single guy to the party, you have to justify it to the couple that doesn't want them there.
And we've had to deal with that at parties before.
So the biggest hurdle that I find is how to make everybody feel comfortable with it, to where you're not having any kind of an issue. And I mean, you know, I don't care what you're into, there's somebody that's not going to be into it. You know, I'm
right.
You know, you and everybody's got to understand that when you're trying to host, Katie's got a saying that we're not creating a fuck list for ourselves. We're creating a list of people who might want to fuck one another throughout the night.
Right.
And the biggest struggle is trying to get people to understand that while you might not like single guys, 70% of the people do like single guys, so we need to include them for that 70%. We're trying to hit the law of averages here. We're not trying to cater to each and every individual attendee.
Well, and like with the single guys, you know, we don't have a problem with them coming, but we have found that singles flake out a lot.
And that isn't just single guys. I mean,
no, that's not single. That's not
period.
Yeah.
If we had, I don't even know what that number is off the top of my head, but I would say that 5% of the singles, male or female, that sign up actually show up the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's that way. You know, dating as well. I mean, when we were just trying to meet up with a single guy or a single female, we had a lot of no call, no shows, you know, no follow through. I mean, you know, sure. They wouldn't show up, then you would reach back out to them and say, hey, what happened? And they wouldn't even reply to you. I mean, you knew that they were still active, but they wouldn't talk to you anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
No, we've experienced the same. We had our meet and greet in Denver. Brenna opened it up to single guys, and I think we had as many as 8 at one point that had RSVP'd to this event. And of course, we're a couple who are open about the fact that we entertain single guys. Brenna likes to play with single guys. So, and as did a lot of the couples at this event, the 50 folks that showed up were single guy friendly, and not one of those single guys showed up. Not one.
From my perspective, Brian, once you find a single guy that actually shows up the first time, he'll show up again and again and again. And you and I have talked about this, the four of us have talked about this a little bit back and forth. And I think the key to making that happen is that you're going to have some kind of a pre-communicate. You know, if you're trying to get them to a party, you're almost going to have to meet them one-on-one so that they can feel comfortable around you and have that wing person to go to the party with. And that's what I really think it all comes down to, is not having a wing person.
No, we agree. We actually just had a conversation with a great single guy that we met, that Brent had the opportunity to spend some time with, and he actually asked that question, and we talked to him about it because he's never been to a lifestyle event or club on his own. He's never been at all, and certainly going as a single guy is a little intimidating. And you know, his question to us was, did it make sense for him to kind of become friendly with a couple and then make that adjustment and move into going to a club or an event with a couple? And of course, our answer is for sure. You know, if you have the opportunity to do that, that's like your key. You know, you get in, you'll be a little bit more, at least you'll be received just a little bit better with a couple than you will as a single guy, certainly taken more seriously by the rest of the group and almost accepted to some degree.
Yeah, and I guess the reason I asked this question not only is because, you know, obviously we entertain single guys, but I've been thinking a lot lately about the hierarchy in the lifestyle and the fact that you kind of have, like, you know, single females drive a lot of the lifestyle in a lot of ways. And then you have the couples who are going to be, you know, there's strength in numbers there. And obviously we, because of the number of couples in the lifestyle, we have the biggest say. And then you have guys kind of at the bottom of the hierarchy. And sometimes they're held to very different standards or don't receive the same empathy. I mean, we've even done it where if a couple blows us off the first time, it's like, okay, we'll give you another chance because we want to meet a couple. But if a single guy blows us off, it's like, oh, he can go fuck himself, on to the next. And like, how unfair of us to do that. Why are we doing that? We should just treat people right. With, you know, the same level of respect across the board, or the same level of, you know, consideration for what they have going on. So I guess just more of a thought than anything.
Well, and the truth is, we have just experienced that literally this past weekend before last. One of the gentlemen that Brenna had the opportunity to play with was a gentleman that had corresponded with us over the course of time, I don't know, 3-6 months ago, whatever right. It was, and we kind of lost touch. He got busy, his life got crazy, and so he actually did cancel on us a couple of times. And when he reached back out to me, and I mentioned it to Brenna, her initial instinct was, well, you know, he kind of blew us off, so maybe he's, you know, if he's not serious, let's not waste our time, kind of thing. So I continued to correspond with him a little bit and was convinced that he was legitimate in his apology for doing so, and was earnestly interested in meeting us and wanted to, you know, get to know us. So once we talked about it, Brenna and I, it made more sense. Like, well, you know, if it was a couple, we would give them another chance. We may as well do that. Right. And as it turns out, he was our super guy.
We would have missed out on a really fun experience with an awesome person had we not, you know, just, it was all thanks to Brian too, because I was like, oh, fuck this guy. And I'm so glad that he reined me back in. He reined my bitch side back in, so.
But it's understandable why couples do, I mean, we get it. We understand why couples sometimes will turn their back or snub their noses at a single guy who maybe blew them off once or canceled at the last minute because something came up. Something comes up with people a lot. Something comes up with couples, whether it's a, you know, it has to do with their kids or their job. You know, single guys have the same type of responsibilities. We just kind of shit on them a little bit more, potentially because there's more of them, so there's a greater opportunity to meet them. And we, I guess there's that stigma, you know. So even us couples that play in the single guy world tend to do that unjustifiably, I think.
I think that once you find a decent single guy, I think that he is a pillar of a group. I think that he's, and I'm not talking just about money. In fact, you know, we in the past, we have always published that we have higher rates for single guys. I really don't charge them, but yeah, we do publish it. We have them. And if I think that a single guy is going to be an issue, then I enforce the higher rate, and I'm taking all that down. I'm going to stop doing that. I'm just going to start judging people based on their behaviors. And I don't care if you're a couple or a single guy or a single female. If you're a problem, you're just not going to be welcome back. And
right.
I'm not going to charge people more. But as far as a pillar of the group, single guys will do so much. We have one single guy that 2 o'clock in the morning, I can be awake and send him a message on Facebook. And by the time I get back up at 6 or 7, he's already messaged me back with ideas, willing to help.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is that he first came into our party over a year ago. And we had a dinner party, and he showed up, of course, as a single guy. And there was one couple there that had a problem that he showed up. And I was like, why are you having a problem? I mean, he's being respectful. He's being kind. And the couple actually made me think more about, you know, are you guys a fit for our group? Because if you can't understand my position, then maybe this isn't the group for you. Right. Because we have to take everybody's.
Well, that's kind of part of being open-minded, isn't it?
Yeah.
Understanding
sure.
your yuck might be somebody else's yum.
Exactly. And this guy, I mean, literally anything that we need help with, we know we can call him. And, sure, and he's fucking there. I love him.
When I didn't have help setting up, and I've called him and said, hey, can you be here 2 hours early? I need a hand. And he drops whatever he's doing to be there for me.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Well, there's a built-in appreciation there, right? I mean, he's a single guy who ordinarily would be snubbed at events like this or shunned by people in these types of events and in the lifestyle. And here you are welcoming the guy with open arms. And so, of course, he's going to go above and beyond because you've done that for him. And it's admirable that you're going to charge everyone the same rate. I think that's really pretty impressive.
I agree. That's very progressive in the lifestyle in general. So, kudos.
Yeah, because listen, we as you know, we know there are couples that, as you say, Katie, are not a good fit. Not just single folks.
Here's my opinion. I don't think that singles are swingers, but they have the ability to become that. And I think that's what people are seeing, and they're saying they don't like about singles is they're not a true swinger in the fact that it's not a lifestyle choice for them. It's an opportunity choice for them. But when you find somebody that is lifestyle choice based, they're no different than a couple. And my personal opinion, I have more problems with single women than I ever do with single guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as you say, some people I think do look at it as an opportunity. It's a, you know, it's an opportunist type situation for sure. But when you find folks, singles, that are genuine about the lifestyle, you know, listen, a single person can very easily, as you say, Tim, become part of a couple that is a non-monogamous couple. That is a swinger couple. They happen to start out as single. You know, we all did.
I've kind of got a theory about swingers in general. I think that we all fall under a non-monogamous lifestyle and that there's different genres within it, you know, whether it be poly or
sure.
swingers or, you know, just single people hooking up with random people. So that's where I'm saying that I don't think that just because you are sleeping with other people that you are a swinger. I think that you're non-monogamous, but I don't think you're a swinger. And I think that there are some core beliefs that make you a swinger that not all singles get. That and I probably didn't say that to make any sense.
No, I agree with you. I don't think you can truly understand some of the emotions that couples feel as a single person. I don't see how that would be possible. So I understand what you're saying.
I don't necessarily agree, but.
Well, I mean, it would be difficult for a single person to understand how it is that I enjoy when you have the company of other men. It would be tough to explain that to someone who doesn't have a connection with someone like you and I do.
But there are couples out there that don't entertain single men at all, and they only play with couples. That doesn't mean that they can't understand our motivations and the lifestyle. They can empathize with us even if they have differences in opinions or preferences. And I think single people can be the same way. To me, what makes you a swinger is understanding of the lifestyle and being respectful when you go into a dynamic with other people, whether you're a single person or a couple. And that's what single people have a lot of times have struggles with, is like understanding our relationship and how they have to fit into it in order to mesh with us and be invited into our dynamic.
Yeah, that's fair. But I do think there are a lot of aspects to it that would be difficult for single folks to wrap their heads around mm-hmm. until they're in an ethically non-monogamous relationship with someone.
That's fair.
But I think that what Brenna's saying makes some sense in that, you know, you guys have a regular single guy that you're involved with. I believe that he could be a part of a swinger lifestyle with you guys because he is now understanding the dynamic of the three of you as a group sharing yourselves with other people.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question. We have a lot of people that reach out to us regarding our situation in terms of living in a rural area, and you guys share that commonality with us. We have people reach out to us all the time and say, oh, I love the fact that you guys talk about, you know, the fact that you can't just go to a swingers club every Friday night, or, you know, there's not swingers events happening every single weekend where we live. So we really have to pick and choose what we're doing and where we're spending our time. And I guess I would ask you guys, as a fellow couple that spends a lot of time rural swinging, what is one piece of advice you would give to our rural listeners?
I think that the biggest advice that I could give rural swingers is leave the small town politics at home.
Yes.
There are so many people that won't go because they remember this one person or this one time. So if you're really wanting to be into small town swinging or rural swinging, you got to step outside of that. I mean, you know, keep it for the school board and all the other things, but you got to step outside of that for this part of the lifestyle. And then the second thing that I would tell everybody is figure out what the dating site in your area is that is the most popular, because they're not, you guys, I know you love Cassidy, we love Cassidy, but not all of them are equal in every area. So if you go to, you know, one part of the United States, one site is going to be bigger than Cassidy, mm-hmm. or Cassidy's going to be the big dog in, you know, like around Vegas, I know Cassidy is huge. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, pick that site that has the most active members, not the most members, but the most active.
Right. Yeah, definitely. A lot of the sites are regional for sure, and they're stronger and weaker in certain places, certain parts of the country, no doubt about it. That makes a big difference. Yeah, I do like your point, Tim, about leaving that small town politics aside. You can get caught up in that very quickly in small towns, as we know, with a limited number of potential playmates and like-minded folks. That can get real dicey. And so I agree with you. I think you really got to open your mind up to options and not being so closed off.
Well, I think sometimes, too, we forget why we're in the lifestyle. Like, the lifestyle is supposed to be fun. You know what I mean? Like, this is supposed to be something really enjoyable. And yet, yeah, you're absolutely right. In rural communities, you get kind of that bickering back and forth. I mean, we have fallen into it a time or two, but you know, that part of the lifestyle sucks. Like, why would you want to perpetuate that?
And maybe this is the first step and I'm just skipping over it. What are you in the lifestyle for? I mean, because I'm not in the lifestyle to find my next love interest. I've already got her. I'm in it for fun and sex. And you know, if you think back on your life, you know, some of the people that were the biggest opposites of you in life were the funnest people to be around. And if you're looking for something that is about fun, maybe that person that's on the opposite side of the political aisle and whatever else, maybe they would be the most fun to hang out with when you're talking about sex and having a good time.
Well, and what I tell people too is sometimes you have to get out of your own way. You have to just, if you go to a party, you cannot be afraid that you're going to be running into somebody that you know. Because if they're there and you are there, guaranteed they're not going to say anything. They're not going to run around town telling all your dirty secrets because they're there too. So if somebody says, well, how do you know? Well, duh, they're not going to say, I was there.
Yeah, and they read it on the internet. So,
exactly. So
you're kind of safe in that. I mean, you're in that boat together. I mean, that's one little cliche that kind of really holds true. You're really in it together.
And it's so funny because people just don't think that way. And so I always tell them, you have to get out of your own way to be able to enjoy this. You live in a small town. It's bound to happen. And it's okay. You just have to take everything one step at a time. And you just have to take that first step and just have fun with it.
And the people, we find the people that have the most fun at the parties are usually the ones that were the most apprehensive walking into it.
Yeah.
But sure. Once they get there, and I mean, we'll spend hours talking to somebody, telling them, you know, okay, the very first thing is you're not walking into an orgy. I've yet to ever be at a lifestyle party where I walked in the door and everybody was naked. I'm not saying that stuff doesn't happen.
God, but I wish it would. No.
Yeah, you get to a point where you're looking for that because, you know, that would be fun. But let's face it, you know, most of these parties are being held at a hotel or in somebody's personal home.
Right.
You know, who could afford for that kind of activity to go on and not worry about it getting out? So you're not walking into a banquet room at a hotel with 65 naked people. You're walking into something, you know, at our parties, you know, yeah, I'm low cut shirts and high cut dresses and, you know, that kind of stuff. But
booty flashes.
Yeah, but it's good. I mean, I've seen worse at a bar. So I think you're walking into an environment that is not as overwhelming as you think it's going to be.
I think a lot of the new folks, particularly, Tim, as you alluded to, they come to these parties and they think, you know, it's just going to be naked debauchery. Well, first of all, most of the time, as you say, they're held in, you know, in banquet rooms of hotels. So a certain level of decorum has to be exhibited. That's a given. Yes. Also, everyone at the party, and, you know, we attended your last event. It was amazing. There was over 90 people there. Everyone is, yeah, whether it's their 10th party or their first party, everyone gets that anxious feeling when you first enter the room. Everyone's feeling the same thing, right? It's like the first day of school. You kind of got to find your way a little bit, and then you start to get a little bit more comfortable, you know, and you start chatting with some folks, and all of a sudden some more people come over, and that's really how the party kind of finds its groove. But everyone walks in the same way.
Sure. We host the party, and I still walk in with it and anxiety, yeah, and nervousness.
You guys probably have more anxiety than most because you're the host. It's like all the pressure's on you. No one else in the room has any pressure, you know, to make it successful, you know, for the most, yeah, part. You know, I think we all feel, Brennan and I certainly felt a level of responsibility at your event. We wanted things to be just awesome. We certainly didn't want to cause any ripples in the party. So we had some anxiousness, obviously. But I think everyone's going to feel a little of that for different reasons.
I think that the biggest thing, you know, if you're going to be in a rural community and you're going to go to parties, you're going to have to just step outside of your comfort zone for, you know, 15 minutes and walk in. And here's the thing, you can always leave.
Right.
You know, you're not going to a gated community. You right. can always say, this isn't our cup of tea, and just stand up and leave.
Yep. I think you said it, Tim. You could step outside your comfort zone for a couple of minutes at a time. That's all you need to do.
Get to it, people. Get out there and get to your first event.
If everybody that you talk to that asks you about going to, you know, that wants to know how to go to their first event, if everybody that wants to know how to do it went to their first event, our community would be huge. I mean,
oh, yeah.
If I remember right, in my area, there's something like 12,000 registered swingers on one site. Wow. So if all of those people would come together and start being active, party, you know, that, and we were surprised at our last party having over 90 people there. Every party would be like that if all 12,000 of them people would step out of their comfort zone and start attending parties, even if it was only one a year. You would have for sure such an active and fun community that everybody would be able to find what they're looking for.
You know, had a one couple sign up, and he told me, he says, we've never been to a lifestyle party. He says, but if we don't do it, then I think that we're really missing out. He goes, we're going to be stepping out of our comfort zone. This is something that we've never done before. He says, but I really feel that if we don't do this now, we will never do this again.
And then the next morning, he comes up and taps me on the shoulder as I'm packing things out of the hotel. And he says, make sure you keep me on your guest or on your mailing list. I want to come back.
Yeah. Sure. You know, they had such a great time, and it was wonderful because he finally got it, you know? I mean, he was like, yeah, if I don't do this, I'm going to be losing out, and it was wonderful that they showed up.
And that's all these parties are really a networking event, and there's, because you're having them at a hotel and people are getting hotel rooms, there is an opportunity for sex afterwards.
But, like speed dating.
Yeah, but it, yeah, that's... You're just
naughty speed dating. I like it, Katie.
With booby flashes.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
On that note, I want to switch to something a little bit more sexy, because I know this is probably going to totally shock you guys, but we're kind of naughty. And so we've already heard a couple of your sexy stories, but our listeners haven't. So I'm wondering if you will each share your absolute hottest moment in the lifestyle so far.
Well, I'll go first, since how he gave me the look, which I love that look. I would have to say the hottest one for me was when I got to be what they call airtight or submarine or whatever they want to call it. And for the people who don't know what that is when you're being penetrated with three cocks, basically. One is anal, vaginal, and then one in your mouth. Right. And it was phenomenal. I was a little overexcited about it.
As well you should be.
Orgasmed within like 3 minutes, I swear. I was like so fast, and I felt so bad for all the guys because I was like, okay, I'm done.
Mission Short accomplished.
But sweet.
Mission accomplished. Well done.
I still smile at that one.
Well, you're smiling now. We can see it. Yeah. So Tim, was that your favorite as well, or do you have something else cooking?
That was phenomenal.
Because he got to be one of the three guys. He was the one that he was the anal guy.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, I've been called anal before, but not that. Yeah, aspect.
Tim's got that look about him. Like you just sneak right up behind you. Yep. No warning.
Just, he's that guy.
Yep, he's that guy.
I would say my favorite was what everybody gives me a hard time at, the by accident. So we were in an after party, which was in a suite, and there was probably 30 people in there. And there was a group of us, and I don't even know how many people it was, but there was a group of us on one of the beds, and I was underneath of a woman licking her, and my buddy was playing with her boobs, and he thought he was rubbing her leg, and he had my shirt hiked up and was rubbing my stomach.
Nice.
I thought it was her. He thought it was her. It was kind of a awkward situation. So that's why they call it the by accident. It was on accident. But it was being Katie was involved. There was, I don't even remember how many people, but it literally,
there was like 7 or 8 people all involved. And it wasn't a daisy chain because it didn't connect. It was more like a puppy pile.
Right.
And what just kicks the story in my ass about this whole thing is that he had pulled Tim's shirt down and then patted his stomach like, I got you, big buddy.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Like it actually didn't happen.
Sorry about that.
That's amazing. But,
well, and I don't even remember how I got to see this, but at some point, you know, I've seen people like, there was this chain literally wrapped off of the bed like some great big snake.
And like over to the couch. It was like, it was freaking crazy.
It was. And everybody was lost in the moment. And it was, you know, if you wanted to listen to it, it was just.
Oh, because there was people standing around. And then like, and it was crazy because like, you know, because I was enjoying myself very much. And then somebody was behind me. And it's really sad. I don't even know who was behind me. And licking me, and then I look behind me, and it's like over by the couch, and yet there's like people standing around, and, sure. And everybody's smiling, everybody's enjoying themselves, and then it was like, okay, we're done. Back to the conversation. What were we talking about?
I guess that's any situation that we have in the lifestyle. It goes from some of the hottest sex to we're right back to joking around and just
and
being
switching
friends.
Recipes. I mean, yeah, it's so fucking weird.
I mean, you know you're comfortable with somebody when you can, after you get done having sex with them, then you can stand there and talk to their husband and, you know, tell stories about what happened last weekend at the horseshoe tournament or whatever.
I mean, yeah, you know, just, no, absolutely. It's a level of comfort that you find difficult to create anywhere else.
Right. So being able to see all them people naked and involved, that was probably my highlight.
Well, it sounds like
pretty
it.
Hot.
It sounds like it, for sure.
So you guys have an event coming up next year that we are going to be attending. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh. Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
So we're going to start doing an annual summit, which I wanted it to be a few more days than what it's going to be, but we're going to do 2 days this year, three days.
Baby steps, yeah. Baby steps.
We're going to do 3 days and 2 nights. It's going to be in Deadwood, South Dakota. Yeah.
And yes, for those people that don't know, it's a real town.
Yes, thank you, Katie.
That was Brian, yep.
Thank you very much.
Brian had no idea.
I'm very excited now, though.
Yay!
What we're trying to facilitate is bringing our entire region together,
mm-hmm.
and we want it to be a community building exercise during the day, meaning that we would like to have various clubs throughout the region represented it. So that, you know, like you guys may not have any contacts in South Dakota. We would like for you to be able to attend something where you could make some contacts, or, you know, vice versa. And then at night, you know, we want to have what we normally have, a big party and lots of fun and lots of dancing and lots of rubbing and grinding and hopefully building up to go have some.
Absolutely.
Sounds awesome. We are so flippin' excited to go.
Yeah, we had lunch with a couple Sunday that we met at your last event that's also going to be headed to Deadwood, and they are just as excited as we are.
Oh, and the venue is just...
Oh, my God.
We are so excited about that. It is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, super excited about that. So excited. Yes.
So, we can't wait to show that, show the venue off and what all we have planned. And
well, and what I want people to know is that when you go on the website and you look at the summit, we threw it out there super early so that people had time to sign up, because we are offering to plan for it because it is going to be over the weekend. But we have lined out some, during the day we're going to do a slot tournament. We're going to have classes. We're going to make sure that there's things to do during the day if you don't want to do any of that. We're going to try to plan like a bar crawl, so that everybody has something to do. You know, Friday night, there's going to be a plated dinner, some entertainment. Saturday night, we're going to have the themed party with dinner as well. And then Sunday, we're going to have a breakfast buffet so that everybody can come down, say their hellos, say their goodbyes, and get checked out of their rooms. But we got so much more coming, but we wanted to get it on the website now so that people can plan. But, watch the website, because there's going to be stuff that's going to be added to it. So,
and what is the website?
The website is www.energyundergroundnd.com. So if you're not a member, you will have to hit the Join Us button, fill out the application.
We're looking forward to it. We're anxious. We can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely. So where else can people find you guys and all you're doing in the lifestyle?
So you can find us on Instagram at Energy Underground. You can find us. I just created a Twitter account so that I can start helping do this at E_Underground69. I don't know if you want us to give our kick IDs too.
I wouldn't recommend that.
No, I keep that to yourself.
I mean, that's totally up to you. I'm not going to recommend that option. But
you're going to be getting a lot of big daddies texting you, kicking you.
Oh, I want to keep that on the DL. I fucking love you too. The main thing is just go to the website. That is going to be your master key into everything.
EnergyUndergroundND.com. ND.
Perfect.
Yeah, don't forget the ND. That is very important.
Yes. And our listeners can always reach out to us, and we can direct them to you as well.
Well, thank you guys so much for allowing us to pick your brains about all things lifestyle. This has been awesome. And once again, just, thank you guys for doing what you do in our area. It's made a huge difference for us personally, and I know for a lot of other people that live near us. So, just a huge thank you for everything.
Yeah, for sure. We really appreciate everything you guys do.
What me and Katie do is nothing compared to what all of the people going to the parties do.
Yeah, I mean, every member contributes in the fact that they're supporting us by coming to the parties, and their excitement is what makes me and Tim want to be better at what we do.
Thank you guys so much.
Guys, thank you so much. You have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
If you're anything like us, when we first started swinging, we really had no idea where to begin, and it can be really intimidating, and we have a great recommendation for you, which is to join Cassidy.com. Cassidy is a huge online platform that includes so many sexy swingers in your area, plus lots of local events to keep you up to date on all things lifestyle. And if you join Cassidy, you can find our community, Front Porch Swingers, and keep up with everything we are doing as well. So make sure you check out Cassidy.com today.